Hello, all of you wonderful people out there in broadcast land. Welcome to another episode of Black and White Reviews. My name is Chuck.
My name is Lee.
My name is Will.
And today we are discussing, I believe it's 1995.
Six.
Yeah. 96.
96.
Yeah, yeah.
Val Kilmer. 96. Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas in The Ghost and the Darkness. And I want to let Will go first today.
Well, hold on. There's a few other people that there's a few people here that we missed. Let's just make sure we're getting it right. So there's Theoden, Ant-Man, Black Panther, Batman, Carmine Falcone. Oh, and the Wachati.
Say Batman?
Yeah.
He already said Val Kilmer.
Oh, yeah, Val Kilmer.
I know. But, okay, so Theoden.
Yes.
Obviously.
The
so
doctor.
He's the king is the doctor.
Yep.
Ant-Man. He's the original Ant-Man, Hank Pym. Black Panther, the dude Samuel there was T'Chaka, right?
No.
He was the original Black Panther.
Okay.
The father, yep. And then Batman. And then you've got the Tom Wilkinson, who was Carmine Falcone in Batman Begins.
Yes.
And the Wachati, because those dudes were all wearing red, you know, the loogie. Chicaka.
Yes.
Yeah, so want to make sure we have it all right here. So there's that.
Yes, a lot of actors played on both DC and Marvel.
And Marvel and Ace Ventura.
So, Will, your thoughts on this film? If you hate it, that's okay.
No, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to figure out. So. Passion in the Desert bad because Animal Man Bond.
Uh-huh.
Ghost in the Darkness good because man kill animal. Is that basically like what we're gonna be doing here tonight? I didn't know what I was watching. I thought I was gonna be watching like a movie about, you know, a white dude building a bridge in Africa, and like the tribes people were gonna be like, no, capitalism bad, and it didn't turn into any of that. Like that's what the beginning of this movie was kind of like. Like you have the greedy capitalist who wants a bridge built somewhere in the middle of Africa for whatever reason. It's like, okay, I can understand what the story is gonna be coming from, and I kind of thought that at the end Val Kilmer was gonna be the guy, be like, no, this is wrong, I'm not doing this job, tear the bridge down, leave these people alone, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's what this movie was kind of setting up to be within the first 10, 15 minutes. Then all of a sudden, the movie just turns into an hour and a half of them trying to hunt a couple of lions and failing at every single turn, all the way up until the end, and the camera work that's on some of these like gunfire shots and everything was absolutely ridiculous in my opinion. Oh my God. I'm not going to say that I hated this movie. I will never watch this again. I probably will never think about this again. This is going to be the kind of movie that I'm going to forget as soon as we're done doing this podcast. It was so weird. It was so weird to watch. I didn't know what to make of it. I don't think they knew what they wanted this movie to be. This movie tried to be like two or three different things. Like it tried to be like the greedy capitalists want bridge. Then it turned into man versus beast. And then it was like, man can't do anything about this because beast is a spirit. And this is, it's like, okay, what are we doing? And then you have to like rope in this whole superstitious thing and everything. Okay. All right. I am not the biggest fan of Val Kilmer. It's horrible what's happened to him with his voice and everything, and I feel sorry for him, but that does not excuse his career for me at all. I just don't like him as an actor. I never have. And this movie is one of the reasons why, like, the stakes are through the roof, where there's a whole bunch of people dying and lions are coming into camp and, like, dragging people off into the middle of nowhere, horror movie style, and Val Kilmer's just like, no. I'm gonna deal with this. And like he goes marching out into the middle of nowhere in the cat and nine tails, like four or five different times in this movie, and gets absolutely wrecked and owned. But he plays every single time that he goes off to do this like it's the most epic thing in the world. I don't really understand. Michael Douglas is like a breath of fresh air in this movie because he comes in, he's acting goofy. And I couldn't help but laugh at everything that he did throughout this entire, I couldn't help but just like make fun of him when I was in the, just like the way that he acted this part, his mannerisms, just his backstory. Okay. All right. I don't know what else to say. There's really nothing else to say about this movie. After the first half hour, it's basically they're out in the middle of nowhere and they're firing guns, and you hear the same roar played over and over and over again on a track in repetition, and it just keeps going and going and going. Like, they're like, okay. Okay. And, yeah, that's, those are my opening thoughts. I mean, I'll get more into it later if you really want me to.
Definitely.
But for the most part, for the most part, this movie was just like a series of gunshots and not a whole lot else of substance. And then, you know, they succeed and ba-boom. And okay. Okay.
All right, Lee.
So Michael Douglas comes in, Crocodile Dundee, like American Crocodile Dundee, and like he comes out of nowhere. There's one scene where they're like going out to do something, and it confused me because out of nowhere there was like this intense music that like he says a word that wasn't even like that big of a deal, and it's like "Kung da 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 da." You're like, wait, what? And but it's just they're just walking, and you're like, oh, like it seemed like really out of place. Val Kilmer didn't know where he was from. His accent kind of just changed every few minutes or within the same sentence it would change. So I was trying to figure out, I'm like, is he Irish? Maybe. Is he not? I couldn't figure that out. So it was hard to follow. I'm not saying I didn't like the movie, but I am saying I will not watch it again. I have no need to. It was entertaining for one scene. There was one scene that was entertaining, and it was because I was like, wow, if this is not a dream sequence, like, that was ridiculous. And because of how everything else was, I was kind of hoping it wasn't a dream sequence, just to, like, make things more exciting. Not because I'm, like, you know, weird and evil or anything, but it was just like, whoa, like, that looked ridiculous.
Because I'm the weird and evil one, I will say it. I was really hoping that wasn't a dream sequence. I'll say it for you. There you go.
Yeah, it was just really interesting. I mean, again, I don't hate it. It took me maybe only 2 days, like two sittings to get to watch it. Yeah, wasn't sure what to expect. The trailer made it seem more like they were getting into, as you said, like some spiritual thing, some kind of ghost and the darkness. I mean, it's called The Ghost and the Darkness, and I still don't understand that title, because it seems I don't see
their
how
names,
huh?
It's their names.
Oh, there's Ghost and then there's Darkness.
It's the names of the lions.
Okay, one's name is Ghost and the other one's name is
they
the darkness.
Say it in the movie.
Okay,
like four times.
I know they say it, but
so that's why it's titled The Ghost and the Darkness.
Okay.
How do you not know?
Because I couldn't understand what he was saying and why he kept saying the ghost in the darkness.
So when he says in the movie that the local started calling them the ghost in the darkness.
Yes.
That was confusing.
I thought they were saying the ghosts in the darkness because you don't see them.
Ghost and the darkness.
Yeah, that's where I got lost.
Oh, okay.
So it was just like, I thought they were just saying those spirits are the ghost in the darkness. I'm like, oh, they're the ghosts in the darkness. Okay, I got it. But then I'm like, I kept getting the title wrong because of that. But, I mean, I get what it is. I was really hoping to see more, like, railroad being built and stuff, but it just seemed like, I don't know. I didn't know really what I was expecting here, but it's not what I expected. And I'm honestly surprised that it got to our list of things to watch. Again, didn't hate it. I just...
Why are you surprised it got to our list of things to watch? Dreamcatcher made it to our list.
That's true. But Dreamcatcher, you could laugh at a little bit more than this. This, I just kept going, I don't understand what's happening here. Why are we watching this?
Well, can I shed some light on this?
Yeah.
So this movie was directed by a gentleman by the name of Stephen Hopkins.
Uh-huh. Not Stephen Hawking.
His most popular two films are Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Child, and Predator 2.
Okay, that checks
out.
Yeah,
this makes a lot more sense now.
The Dream Child, oh, no, that makes perfect sense.
It, yes.
It had a couple of Dream Child feelings to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that one was a weird one with the little kid from Jurassic Park. The dream child. It was the unborn child that was having dreams of Freddy.
Hmm.
And that's how she was getting those nightmares, because he was dreaming of Freddy, and then Freddy was trying to take him in as his son.
Mm.
Yeah, that was so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dream Warriors was so good. And Dream Master was like, what? And then Dream Child. Yeah, and then they, you know, so obviously swapped out the actress from Dream Warriors to... Anyway, whatever. I can go on forever about the Freddy movies. But yeah, that's Chuck.
Okay, yeah.
So
why'd you choose this movie?
Why?
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoy this movie.
Okay. All right.
I've
okay,
seen
then.
This movie probably 20 times in the last 30 years.
20 times?
I That's love a this. Lot. I enjoy this movie.
Okay.
I watch this movie every, you know, 5-6 years or so just as an enjoyment film. So yes, this The Ghost in the Darkness, I'm going to read this offline. The Ghost in the Darkness is based on a true story. The 96 American film is a fictionalized account of the Tsavo Man-Eaters, two male lions that attack workers building a railway bridge in Kenya in 1898. The film stars, as we know, Val Kilmer as Lieutenant Colonel John Henry Patterson, who was sent to Africa in 1898 to oversee the project. Within days of Patterson's arrival, the lions are attacking, and Patterson has to get creative to capture them. The film is based on the true story of two man-eaters in Tsavo, a novelization of Dewey Graham that tells the story of two hunters who try to track and kill the lions. The lions are described as one ghostly white and one black as night, and they terrorize workers building the bridge in the wildlands of Africa in 1888. The film, crazy enough, won the Academy Award for Best Sound Editing, and some say it's entertaining and charming. However, others say it's not clear how accurate the movie is. Yet the two lions' skulls are mounted on taxidermy in the film, in the Field Museum in Chicago, where they have been on display since 1928.
Mm-hmm.
So, the unlike Titanic, where Titanic takes this fictionalized story and puts it into,
mm-hmm.
you know, the real life story, or even Pearl Harbor, where, you know, they take this romance and they put it into, you know, the real life scenario of that. The story is actually based on these two hunters, Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas, who are hunting these two man-eater lions. And the crazy part that they called them the Ghost in the Darkness was exactly that, is lions don't typically respond this way. They usually attack when they're hungry, they eat, and then they don't attack until they're hungry again. But these guys, there were records of, you know, over 30, 40 dead in the course of weeks because of these two things, these two lions. And I don't know, 96, I was 82 to 96 is what, 14, 15 years old. I was probably 15 years old when I first saw this movie. And it's supposed to be a thriller. Drama thriller. And, you know, back in the 90s, you know, Val Kilmer, you know, he was known for Batman. He was known for other a couple small things. And Michael Douglas, I mean, he's been Michael Douglas. He's known for so much out there. But for me, this movie, I don't always have to watch movies that require intelligent thought to get through it. I don't have to watch movies that require, like, it doesn't have to be Tenet to watch the movie. I enjoy a movie where the plot and the story sometimes are very simple, but it's enjoyable to watch. And for 95 or 96, I did some more looking up. There was only one or two scenes where they used an animatronic lion. The rest of the lion shots were all trained and tamed lions that they used for the rest of the movie. I mean, aside from the one scene where he's in the cage, I think that was done with animatronic. You could obviously tell it was fake. But outside mm-hmm. of that, all the live scenes that you see them walking around, all trained and tamed lions that they have, that they're being coached. And I thought that that was really, really cool that they actually got actual lions to do a film like this. And I mean, it's not a in-depth plot. It is guy goes to build a bridge, scenario happens, rest of the movie is trying to solve the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I enjoy that every time they try to think of something, it goes wrong until he has to finally face it face to face, literally face to face. And I thought it was enjoyable. Personally.
I think I would have enjoyed this movie a lot more if it wasn't for like the first 10-15 minutes where you're introduced to the guy who's, you know, funding the project, and there's all these threats about you'll never work again and I'll damage your reputation and you better get this done in 5 months and that whole thing, because you're setting up kind of a different movie in the first act. Like the first 15-20 minutes is setting up a completely different film, and then all of a sudden it changes at the beginning of the second act when you introduce the lions.
If it had just opened
with guy building a bridge, everything is going swimmingly, and then all of a sudden you introduce the lions, I think I would have enjoyed this movie a lot more. Because you're right, I don't always need, you know, intricate or complicated plot to enjoy a movie. I don't always need that. I'm just saying, like, the first 15-20 minutes is really, like, it almost feels like false advertisement. You're advertising movie to be something different, and then all of a sudden, it's like, it's not that at all. And, like, the threat of the business owner just kind of goes away.
I think that's, well, he comes back in the middle of it and still threatens him.
Sure.
But I think that's the point, is if you were in real life, your thought process is, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get there, and then 2 days later, or that same day that you get there, the next day, this happens. And you're like, this is not at all what I signed up for. So I think even the main character is probably thinking and feeling exactly what we feel, going, this is not what we were trying to watch. This is something different than what we expect. And we're getting something than what we different than we what something different than what we expect. And I think that was purposeful. I can see why you don't like that. I mean, for me, it's kind of like when we watched, we did Red Eye. You know, I was like, I don't like the last 15 minutes because it goes way off base from what it was supposed to be.
Mm.
This is kind of the reverse of that. So I can kind of see, like in Red Eye, it was airport, airplane, and then it was like the last act was like in the suburbs.
Yeah.
So this was like in the States, and then the last 2.5 acts were, you know, in Africa and all the craziness happens. But for me, this movie isn't one of my, it's not like a top 10 type movie, but it's in my top 50. I like this movie a lot. I enjoy it. There's not a lot to like, I mean, you could look at the acting, the special effects, not a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
The graphics. I mean, it's next year is 30 years. So, I mean, or 2 years, it's 30 years.
2 years.
So it's a fairly older movie. But for me, I really enjoy this film.
So that's just you must watch more movies than any of us combined here. Because if you've watched this movie 20 times in the past 30 years.
Probably.
That kind of blows my mind. Especially if you're saying it's in your top 50. So that means it's not your number one, yet you either watch it more than all the others if you've watched it 20 times in 30 years. So that's crazy. You must really have a lot more time than I do to watch movies.
So I don't have a lot more time. It's just... I just like movies. I like movies.
I get where Chuck is coming from on this. I've seen Rocky 100 times easy. Not my favorite movie. Nowhere near it, but I've seen that.
You really think you've watched it 100 times?
All the way through 100? All the way through 100? No.
No.
All the way through, maybe somewhere closer to what Chuck is talking about, maybe 30, 40, but like 100 times, like in passing, oh, it's on, you know, TBS, TNT, I'm going to watch the rest of it. Here's this segment, you know, that I really like that I stumbled across on TV. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. Like that together, like I've definitely seen Rocky more times than I've seen any other movie in my life. It's not my favorite movie, though. It's not in my top 20. I understand.
But here's
what
the thing, though, is movies for me, when I say I like movies, I don't like movies in the sense of I want to watch this movie and I want to rip it apart. Because even Will was like, last week we were talking, he's like, you're turning into us. And there is a sense where I am turning into that. And I do criticize movies more, and I'm becoming more the critic than I am the basic viewer. And I've always been a critic. However, for me, movies is my favorite pastime. If I had the choice as a pastime to do anything, I will put a good movie on. I will watch something that entertains me. I will watch something that, you know, for you guys, it's, you know, for people like Will, it's music where, you know, it will either lift up your spirit or your soul, or you'll feel something. And, you know, people will be like, oh, you know, you have the old people like their love sick. They put on a love song, or they put on, a romance ballad, or, you know, for me, sometimes depending the scene, the mood I'm in, I'll put a movie that reflects the mood I'm in.
Yeah.
Back in the day when I was in my early teens, late teens, early 20s, when Fast and the Furious came out, I used to drive a little sports car. I used to watch Fast and the Furious, get myself all the first Fast and the Furious, not the rest of them. The only good one. I used to put Fast and the Furious on and then get in my car and go cruising and speed around. Because what the heck was that?
that's you cruising.
Oh, he's not crashing, cruising.
Playing with the sound effects.
But for me, movies is actually one of my all-time favorite pastimes to do. It is, like, since I was 13 years old, the way people listen to music, the way people read books, the way people will go mountain climbing, the way people will do, that is movies for me. And it always, I will, except for horror now, and like, you know, softcore, any kind of new, like, porn or grossness, stuff like that. Give me a romance movie. Give me a comedy. Give me a thriller. Give me an action. Give me a martial arts. Give me an epic. Give me any of that stuff. And I'll watch it because I enjoy movies.
And I respect that about you. I like that about you a lot. And I think you're a good... I think in a lot of ways you're saying that you're a good contrast to people like Lee and I, who can be a little bit more critical at times. Because I think the three of us should be able to meet in the middle on things like that. I think you should 100%. Be a little bit. I think you should be a little bit more critical, and I think Lee and I could be a little bit more forgiving on a lot of things that we see. So it's kind of like, you know, a merging of that, and I like that dynamic about the three of us.
But, and I'm becoming more critical, which is why there are certain movies, like my all-time favorite movie is Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I will never suggest that.
That's fine.
Because I don't want to walk away hating the movie.
That's fine.
Because I know it will. Because I watch it and I go, I watch it now and I go, there are so many holes in this movie. There's so many things like that just don't make sense and they don't fit. But I'm like, you know what? There's a sentimental place in my life with that film and I don't want to ever lose that. So I will never go into that with the critical mind, the movie critic mind when I watch that. I will turn that off and watch it for sheer enjoyment.
Right. I think everybody kind of has that. You definitely more than us.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'll watch something that I loved as a kid. So, I mean, for example, I know this is goofy and out there, but like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, I used to rent that from West Coast Video like over and over again when I was a kid. That, Back to the Future, some Winnie the Pooh thing. I mean, when I say kid, I mean like 4, 5, 6, you know, and I'd watch it over and over again. And then when I was like 15, I watched it on TV and I was like, this is not what I remember it being. Like, there's entertaining parts, but it was like I had a whole other thought of what it was in my head, and then it kind of ruined it for me. You know, I enjoy it. I'll watch it now and again, but I'm not all hyped up like I used to be as a kid.
What, Bill and Ted or Back to the Future?
Well, Bill and Ted. But like Back to the Future, for
you
example.
You want
to
do a Bill and Ted like movie night?
I did one. I've done it.
But you want to do it again?
No, I don't. I never said that.
Oh.
Okay. No. So my point is when you watch something when you're younger, and you really enjoy something, it's hard for you to watch that unbiased later on and be able to give it like a full critique, you know, because you're kind of stuck with there's that sentimental value of something that, you know, kind of brings you back to when you were a kid, when things were simpler. you know, and we appreciate that.
Sure.
But I mean, for me, for example, when Equilibrium came out, I'm like, this is the greatest movie. This movie is awesome. I love the concept. I love the way it was shot. I love like the kind of the darkness that they had going on with it. But then later on, when Will and I revisited it, like we just sat there and we're like, yeah, like I still like the story of it, but it just didn't age well. And for some reason, that one was one where I was able to kind of like let go and be like, yeah, like I'll watch it again, but I'm not, it's not in my top anymore.
I don't care if movies don't. I mean, there are certain movies that I care about, but there are films where I'm like, when it came out, it was still like, not Equilibrium, but there was still like, it was still, you know, up there with special effects, but then you watch it 20 years later and you're like, wait a minute. But like even there, I mean, we talked about
maybe that was the shock. Maybe that was the shock of Equilibrium, that it did not age well, and we and neither one of us had seen it in what 20 years before we did it. And it's like, okay, yeah, let's
maybe
watch this. And then okay, fine. But then it's like, oh wow. Like it's so
I was actually
jarring to go back and revisit something like that when, you know what I mean? Like, so, I don't know.
I can compare it more to video games.
Like, sure.
Playing a game and then playing it years later, and you're like, oh, you know, wow, these graphics are actually keeping me from enjoying the game at this point.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, horrible I don't remember them being this bad.
Horrible polygons on the PS1, and it's like, they look horrible now.
Even the PS2, some of the games on there that I really enjoyed. Like, I thought Iron Man was a really cool game, so I loved Iron Man when it came out. I mean, geez, that was back in 2008, and they still had PlayStation 2 games coming out. And I remember playing that and being like, this game is awesome. I went to go play it, like, a couple years ago, and I'm like, this is unbearable. Like, it's choppy. It's, like, it's really sluggish. You know, the controls aren't really great. And I was like, I can't do it anymore. It just doesn't really add up. But this is what happens when you get into film. When you watch things, it's like you can appreciate things for multiple different reasons. You can appreciate it for the story, for the acting, for the writing, for, you know, the graphics, whatever. But, you know, as we grow up and as we start critiquing things in a different way, it's like, okay, what are we really trying to get out of this? Are we just watching this for enjoyment, or are we watching this to pick it apart? And I think nowadays it's just
to pick it apart.
Yeah, it's to pick it apart. And
where's the fun in that then?
Where's
the fun in movies if all you do it's like I know Will hasn't seen this, but I think you have in The Greatest Showman, and Hugh Jackman's talking to the theater critic, and he is like, what is the point of you enjoying theater if you can't even laugh and enjoy theater for what it is?
Sure.
What's the point of watching a film if you can't enjoy it?
Yeah.
If you're always walking out of the theater or walking with a movie going, I have to watch it four more times to figure out if I like it, and yada, yada, yada.
Well, I think that's valid because there's an initial shock. You watch something for the first time and you go, oh, that's what this is. And then you can watch it a second time for one of two things. One, to rip it apart because you really didn't like it. Or two, to find what you did like about it so you can find some level of entertainment from it. So
I think 90s is a different is a different beast, though, because when you're talking about a lot of 90s movies and you're looking at a lot of those special effects, they were brand new and every studio was really eager to get their toe into that. And a lot of those movies that have special effects aged like milk because it was so new. Like, you got to be able to put yourself in a certain mindset when you're watching something from the 90s. Not so much this movie, but for everything else that we're talking about, or even the early 2000s, like Equilibrium. Like, it was the technology there that they were using to create a lot of those special effects in that world was so brand new that to us, when we watched it back then, it was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And now it's like 20 years later, 30 years later, and it's like, maybe not.
I think it was amazing back then as much as we just looked past it.
Well, you look past it because you had never seen anything like that before. I think that has a lot to do with it. I don't know. Maybe I'll try an experiment and I'll like psych myself up or put myself in a mindset where it's like, I'm going to watch a 90s movie. I have to look at it through this lens. I cannot compare it to anything that we have today or in the past 10, 15 years. It has to be like in its own little box and bubble.
The problem with that, like we've talked about before, is, I mean, Terminator 2 had a lot of CG, obviously, because of, you know, Robert Patrick there. But still Jurassic Park still holds up, and that was 1993.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there were films that there were select films here and there that
used ILM and did a
that yeah. held up really, really well, but that wasn't the norm.
And you're also talking about movies that had enormous budgets.
Yeah,
and that's another thing.
Like
your,
it's like we were
like your regular Schmegula movie coming out of the 90s did not have the $100 million plus budget that Jurassic Park had. Like, let's just be
we were talking
about
this with earlier with Lee. Lee was talking about how tell me a whole how you used Atari and stuff like that. When you go back to Atari and you're playing that,
it's unplayable.
Awful.
It's unplayable. Yet there's,
but you go because it's Atari.
Yeah.
But when we go back to 80s and 90s films, you have to go, it was 80s and 90s.
Absolutely.
But
movies,
the impression that I get is you can't do that with movies.
Movies in the 80s and 90s. No, movies
I said the impression that I'm getting from you is that you can't just go,
me or Will.
You.
Oh, no. I'm saying you can. But the hard part is when you go back and you see other movies that happened and happened before it that looked better, and you're like, okay, I understand it's a budget thing and whatnot, but when you do something and you're making a movie and you look and you say, 3 years ago, Jurassic Park did this. Maybe we should just cut back on the special effects because this looks like poop. Let's not make this look like poop. I mean, a movie like this, yes, they used real lions. But there were scenes where they had like two lions in the shot and it was like green screened.
Nope, there were two different lions.
There were two different lions, but they were
together.
They weren't together. Rewatch that scene. There was like a blue screen that they used. And it was clearly imposed that they had the two like together. They weren't actually together for real. But yeah, it was glaring.
It's not just that. It's not just that. And mild spoiler warning before we actually get into it. There's a couple of shots where it's like the lion's dragging the person off into the middle of nowhere. And it's like the camera really close up shots of the lion's face to hide how bad it would probably look if they did it wider. Like things like that, where you're only going to see something like that from something in the 80s or in the 90s because they just couldn't.
Because they
do
didn't
it.
Have a way to do it. Exactly.
They didn't have
those
a way to
those
do
shots
it.
Were great. Those
yeah.
Shots were great. But when they try to do stuff, like I said, the double lion thing, it's like, okay, maybe. I understand that they were trying to prove the point that there were two of them. So they had to be in the same shot.
There was only like two or there was only, I think, two shots where there were two of them together.
Absolutely. And that's why they only did it those many times, because it didn't look great. But I'm not going to poop on the movie because it did that. I'm just surprised when, when we see certain things come out, you're like, okay, why would they say, yeah, this looks great and can stand up to everything else that's been out in the past decade?
Well, they don't.
Let's go ahead and put this out.
But that means to have that mindset, you can only watch 1% of the films that come out and enjoy them.
True. Okay.
So at that point, I guess I would ask you at that point, are you truly a movie person if that's how you watch film?
You're saying about me. Okay, no, I can watch it.
It doesn't.
I question sometimes when certain things are actually greenlit to be released.
Right, but I mean, there's... But
when
there's
movies
a,
come
but
out, there's so many. There's so much stuff that ends up on the cutting room floor. And I wonder how come some things didn't get out there, because you see some of the deleted scenes from some of the older movies and you go, okay, I can see how they weren't able to do that, so they just cut it out. Like it wouldn't have fit here. You can tell so many great stories by cutting away and implying things. So it's like, if you want to tell a good story, I mean, geez, this goes back to the simplest thing. My wife and I were actually just talking about it. We don't watch horror movies or anything anymore, but she goes, the Blair Witch Project was a really good movie.
Yeah.
And they had no budget.
Zero.
Because they told the story with just like a handy cam. And that was it. Because they came up with an interesting story and said, how can we make this scare the poop out of people? And they did. With just a story and a handy cam and some people. That was it.
So
and
I
some
will
noises in the woods.
I will say this. I'll speak for myself. I look. Whether I enjoy a movie, I love a movie, I hate a movie, or I'm indifferent, or if I'm just mid about it, I'm still really glad that I watched it because I do love movies. I love the art of film.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't matter
right.
to me whether I enjoyed it or not. I get enjoyment out of a movie regardless. I'm glad mm-hmm. I watched it. But that's where I am. I am a movie fan.
Right.
I will watch anything that you put in front of me at least once. I'll give it a shot. Whether I like it or not is irrelevant. I love the art of
Right, and I've always been the same way as well too. And there's definitely films that I hate. And, you know, to your point, Lee, you know, as this doesn't add up to like a Jurassic Park, how many thousands of films don't add up to this movie, you know?
Yeah.
And there's, so
I'm not, so I, just to clarify here, I'm not saying this movie's bad and all those scenes should have been cut. I'm talking in general because there are a lot of movies that have come out, like horror movies, for example. They've got they have a movie called Sharks of the Corn. Okay, there's literally a shark killing people in a cornfield, and it was released, and you can find it streaming. Sharknado exists, and that actually had a budget.
Seven or eight of them.
Yes, but somehow they were greenlit, and I don't understand how, like. That was okay and not like some Funny or Die thing and that's it. Like, I can't believe it was actually a film and it exists.
Well, that's, you know, because that's because people have, mind you, strange but and weird, but they have imaginations and, you know, they're allowed to go and do that. And if someone wants to, you know, this is how I look at it. We're critics.
If somebody wants to make Sharknado, they should be allowed to make Sharknado.
To make Sharknado.
Yeah.
And go for it. It doesn't
go
mean that
it.
Everyone's going to watch
it. Not at all.
But I feel like, you know, when it comes to, if for us to say, how was it greenlit? How was it that? That's like us. that's like armchair quarterbacks that are sitting on Sundays going, how can that person miss that catch?
I know.
Well, you play in that and see how good you will do.
I know.
Put
I had this
any of us, put any of us in any of their positions, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. We would be making films. And a lot of people start out with films like that and then they get better and better because they're learning along the way. Mm-hmm. For example, we talked about this the last time we had a conversation. We're talking about AI. And I said, wait until, you know, back when we were talking about War of the Worlds and how on the radio it was a crazy thing and how you know, we're talking about Equilibrium. Equilibrium 20 years ago put in film exactly what we talked about with AI. The father was AI.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fake person on a screen commanding everybody to do something through somebody else that was actually controlling it all, and everybody's following this imaginary person.
Doctor Who. Or, well, Alfred.
we're all that is the potential of our future right now.
Yeah.
So even though I will like Equilibrium, I loved it because the concept, and I like martial arts, and the fight scenes were fun.
Yeah, the gun kata.
The gun katas were fun. The actual martial arts were fun. The special effects were garbage, especially the smoke and the, you know, when he's peeling away the stuff off the window.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, well.
That was horrible.
While we're getting there, I just recently, just in passing, watched The Flash again.
Okay.
I still don't understand. Like, the only thing I can say that I can use to forgive is they're just saying, well, because he's moving so fast, they just made everything there CG. But the babies? The dog?
That's horrible.
How come all of the CG in that movie was so bad?
How come the microwave dings at the end?
Because it was done.
No, it wasn't plugged in.
It wasn't plugged in.
Because it's an old microwave.
No, it wasn't. Sure. They still needed a plug.
The internal parts, it just dings.
No.
Like a toaster.
No.
Ding. Old microwaves used to do that. My dad had this old one. You know the old clocks from the 80s that weren't digital? They just had the flaps that came down for the numbers? Yeah, like that's what the microwave my dad had was. But the last time he tried to use it, the thing like fried because
yeah,
it was,
of
know,
course
like
it did.
40 years old. It was the size of my desk. But no, I mean, just to clarify, I am just saying that a lot of stuff comes out, and especially in the 90s. I mean, well, stuff that came out in the 90s, there were lots of movies that were released all the time. We didn't have these pandemics that were keeping people in their homes and all these writer strikes that were stopping all these things. Like, movies just kept pumping out. Every week there was another movie or like seven other movies. Like, they just kept on putting things out. No?
No.
No.
In the 90s, and this is what I miss. This is what they do. They pump out.
I'm not talking about blockbusters. I'm just talking about movies in general.
They still didn't do that. So they movies came out less in theaters in the 90s than they get pumped out now.
Well, there's a lot more now because some go straight to Netflix or straight
to streaming. Even in theaters. There's more popping out in theaters now and more big budget films.
Big budget, yes.
There was a summer blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Christmas blockbuster with a handful of other smaller movies that came out. And movies were in the theaters for 2, 3, 4 months.
That's true.
Not
okay.
A month and a half.
I'll backpedal.
So they're pumping out movies way more now than they were then. Like in 91, when Robin Hood came out, it was the summer, and the summer blockbusters were the 2.5 hour films.
Yeah.
And now every movie is 2.5 to 3 hours, you know, and it's like, ugh.
Mm. Yeah.
This is true.
It's a lot. And the longer movies are 3.5 hours, you know. And
valid.
So,
how long was the Snyder Cut?
4.5 hours. Which, oh, by the way, I saw that Rebel Moon came out. Did you realize that the idea for a Snyder Cut once the second film comes out is actually what they're planning? So, once the second movie comes out, they're going to release an entire film that is both as the Snyder Cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just Fantastic. Release the Snyder Cut. Just Fantastic. Release the Snyder Cut. So
yeah.
Do we want to transition?
Yeah. I think we should. I mean, the rest of the world is.
Yeah.
So I guess it's me, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to experience the rest of this riveting conversation on video, find us on patreon.com/blackandwhitereviews. That's patreon.com/blackandwhitereviews. Support the podcast and help us grow. You can also find us on social media at blackandwhitereviews1866 on the YouTubes and Instagram, and also at blackandwhitereviews on Facebook. As always, the audio portion will be available on all podcasting services aside from Google as of April 2nd.
Yep.
Bye, Google Podcast.
I wonder if they're going to take YouTube as their new podcasting thing.
Wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they own YouTube, so it's the same.
So with that being said, we will catch you in spoiler territory.
Okay, so I want to start with something, because I'm doing a little bit of research about this movie, and the behind the scenes is vastly more interesting than the movie. I wouldn't mind if a movie came out about filming this movie.
So
director Stephen Hawkins, yes, later said after the shoot that they had snake bites, scorpion bites, tick bite fever, people getting hit by lightning, floods, torrential rains and lightning storms, hippos chasing people through the water, cars getting swept into water, several deaths of crew members, including 2 that drowned.
Jeez.
So
deaths?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I'm not laughing at deaths. I'm just saying, like, yes. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
This makes the filming of The Crow seem kind of...
He worked Val Kilmer to death, getting him on set for 6 to 8 days, well, 6 to 7 days a week. The filming of this movie is amazing. I want to see that movie. I want to see the making of this movie. I want to see that more than I want to watch this movie again, because it's insane. People died on set and 2 people drowned. Watching a movie where a bunch of hippos are chasing crew members all around South Africa, that would be fantastic.
It was filmed on site, I believe.
It was filmed in South Africa. It wasn't actually in Kenya. But
it was on. It was in Africa, though.
Yeah, yeah.
The movie, the documentary that would be called Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
That's so bad. But that's amazing. That's amazing. Unbelievable. I mean, my respect for Val Kilmer goes up a little bit by reading some of this, that he really wanted to get into the role and he was really passionate about it. And, you know, he was coming off the set from another movie, The Island of Dr. Moreau. So it's like, okay, you're a fantastic actor for actually going through and doing this, and like literal crew members are dying around you and you're still like, nope, we're still going to move forward with this. Like, okay, buddy. All right. Okay.
I mean, his wife was originally married to Doc Brown, wasn't she? That was her, right?
Where are we going with this?
What?
In the movie?
No. Emily Mortimer is not Mary Steenburgen.
It looks like her.
No, it doesn't.
Not at all.
They both have brunette hair.
Ah.
Oh, it looked like it. It looked like it to me.
No.
Okay.
No, she's no, very, very different. Her, she's got brown eyes. Steenburgen has blue or hazel, I believe.
Oh, I never looked that closely. I was just saying.
Yeah.
Looked like her.
Emily Mortimer was born in Hammersmith, London.
I don't need the whole behind, though.
A writer and barrister, Sir John Mortimer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, no, very, very different people.
Okay. That would have been, that would have sufficed. No, I thought this movie was, that right there just made the movie even more interesting to me, that they actually went, that they still continued filming and did all this stuff and created this film in the midst of all that happening. That's crazy.
That's insane.
That's insane. I mean, there is one scene that there's a few scenes that like blow my mind. So there's one where he's trying to capture these lions and he creates this, he calls it my contraption. Like,
yeah.
Let's be a little bit more.
It's a box.
It's a tripwire. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing makes sense. The fact that these three guys can't hit a lion from 10 feet away is amazing.
That,
But then the only part that really, really I never got is when Michael Douglas suggests making a new hospital. And they build a hospital out of a tent. And then they take the enclosed house and they empty it out. And then they expect that the hospital is going to be safe. Like, no. Like, the lions can get into that hospital easier than
they
can get into...
They splattered blood all over the... Yeah, they splattered blood all over the
blood
place,
was
hoping
that...
the cow.
Oh, the cow blood.
It was animal blood, yeah.
Yeah, they did show the cow's head.
Wait, now, did Remington there, Douglas, did he drink the cow's blood at one point?
Well, before he went on the hunt, they punctured the cow's neck, and then he drank it.
Pretty sure that's a sin, right?
I don't...
Anyway, yeah, drinking blood?
I'm guessing that was on their mind when they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So I have a different problem.
Let's go back to the three guys who didn't just walk up and go through the bars. No, they stood as far back as they could from those bars and then just hit every single bar. Instead of just going like this. Oh, there's the lion. One shot. Again, another one shot. No. Val Kilmer kills a lion in one shot. Three dudes can't
hit
kill a lion in closed quarters.
Well, I think that's the point, though, is, again, put us in that situation. And there's this big... to do around these two lions have been killing people randomly.
Mm.
And people think that there is this real superstition around, like they are truly believing that there is this superstition about it. So their minds are like, you got to put yourself in that situation. Their minds are like, these things are like, they're possessed. So all of a sudden this lion breaks in. Its roar is probably super loud in that close quarters. They're terrified.
Yeah, that wasn't
it's like when we watch Scream and you have this dude running around in a mask with an 8-inch blade and he's taking everybody out. Why can't anyone just bang and shoot him? Why? Because no one thinks of it.
Because movie.
Because movie. But this is because there is a superstition truly around these two lions and it is scaring the crap out of people.
And that is the only reason that anything in this movie makes sense, is that there's some kind of weird possession with these lions, that there's some kind of evil spirit or whatever that's living in them.
Well, there's some evidence for this. There's some evidence for this because, and I can't believe it, there is a scene where Val Kilmer got the lion dead to rights. The lion is leaping towards him off a rock in midair.
Yep.
Val Kilmer shoots the gun, and then all of a sudden, the lion is veering off to the other side, mid-air, and just dodged the bullet like it was nothing. Okay.
Yep. Yes.
I laughed
out
loud.
There was another movie we saw where a big cat jumped on somebody, and they stabbed it, and then it died.
Sure.
And that was that. because it didn't want to be tied up so he can go back to his French buddies. Oh, that boy. I can't believe that that still has a place in my mind.
That happened. That was the thing that happened. That was the thing that happened. Dear. I don't know what to say about the rest of this movie because,
I mean, the specifics.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so we were talking about the things, like there's only a few things that would stand out. Michael Douglas's character, Charles Remington, his death was off screen. They walked over, they looked down, you see nothing.
Nothing.
And you go, I had to rewind it. I'm like, what happened? Because I was, you know, I was watching it, you know, in passing, like it was here, and I was like, I didn't hear anything happen, I didn't see anything happen, so I rewound it, I'm like, still didn't hear anything happen, still didn't see anything happen. I understand, he passed on, or whatever, passed on. He got eaten.
Yeah.
Got killed.
Mm-hmm.
He did, got it, but it was just, it was so, like, anticlimactic to what happened.
Do you ever see the body?
The bad.
No.
No.
Because he just lays
just
the towel. He just lays the towel over nothing.
Yep, and they light a fire, and that's
well,
it.
It's what's left of him.
I get it. There's
I
not
get
a lot
what they were
left.
Going
all
for.
All they find is what, like his necklace or something, and then that's all.
I understand
wrote.
What
okay,
they were going for. I'm just saying, like, it was just really weird to like show the dude take off his like blanket or shawl or whatever it was and just lay it over the blood.
Yeah, and then you get the point. Like, I just don't feel like. This goes back to something I talk about all the time, and I don't feel like there was much growth with the character, with Val Kilmer's character, John Henry Patterson here. What did he really learn? Like, first thing he does is shoot a lion with one shot.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the movie, he shoots a lion. Two shots. Okay, but he shoots a lion.
Yeah.
And all's well. Okay. Where did he learn something? People died. I don't know. And that's what kind of leaves me with a lot of movies where I just wonder, like, what was the moral of this story?
Does there have to be a moral every time there's a movie?
No, but there
does
has
the
to
movie
be a point.
Does the movie have to fit your principles every time you watch a movie?
No, but
because he was sinning when he drank the blood, so therefore he shouldn't because you see it as a sin.
No, I'm not saying that.
I think the moral
a comment.
I think the moral of the story is capitalism bad. Because they
capitalism
come across
bad.
Because they come across the mass grave and you're led to believe, oh, this is not, you know, this billionaire's first attempt to build something here. This has happened mm-hmm. before. Here is the mass grave to prove it. Oh my God. So I think that's like the big revelation of the film. Like, this isn't the first time that something like this has happened. And you have this billionaire who's just trying to do everything all over again, and he's not giving two thoughts to the human life that's being expended. I think that's the moral of the film. Capitalism bad.
I never saw that because this is like when railroads were becoming a thing.
True.
So what would they have done prior to this where that was the case?
So what's the deal with the mass grave?
The lions have been doing it for years.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's not like the lions were bringing them to this pit. Those bodies look like they were put there.
No, they were. That's why they were dragging them away.
They were dragging them out into the middle of Cat and Nine Tails. They weren't dragging them into a cave. These bodies in this cave, I thought that the way that I took it was they put these bodies there to hide them, whoever. And now they're just going to start over again with the bridge that needs to be built.
No, that's the lion's den. That's their lair. They were bringing the people back there. That is where the lion's lair is.
Then how come you don't see the lions bringing anybody from this camp back to their den? They're dragging them into the middle of the Cat and Nine Tails and eating them right there and then taking off.
Well, that's some of them, but they're probably bringing them back there as well, too. They just...
Okay.
They're following them to that's their den.
Okay.
That's a lion's den. And that's why he's like, oh my gosh, this isn't, you know, it's a tomb. You know, they've been doing this for a long time. And that's the whole point of this film too, is lions don't do this, especially two lions and especially male lions. Male lions aren't the hunters.
Well, a lot of A lot of predators, once they get the taste of blood, they're not going back. So it really only takes like one.
Yeah, but the whole point is this was for sport. They don't do it for sport.
No, they do it for food generally.
Yeah, they do it for food generally.
So that's why...
And it's usually the female lion who does the hunting, not the male lion.
So this is why that scene where... this is the best scene in the movie, is he sees his wife coming, and he's like, go back, get away. And she's clearly, like, not hearing him.
Nope.
And he's just trying to get through the crowd of people. And then the lion is just running alongside. He sees it. She's completely oblivious.
Mm.
And then the lion comes up and then just totally sideswipes her. And when it happens...
While she's holding newborn baby.
While she's holding a newborn baby. So obviously that is... I saw that and I'm like, whoa. Two things going through my mind. One, this is probably a dream. But then I had the other thought, like, maybe it's not a dream. And they're really trying to, like, you know, like... take home or bring it home that this lion is just out for revenge against him because he shot the other lion. And I'm like, that made it really interesting. And then it was just a dream. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'm not saying I wanted to see somebody get attacked by a lion and that was it. Like, somebody that he loved. Or two people that he loved. But it would have driven home further how this lion was like, thinking, oh, this will hurt you. I'm going to get this woman, like, he somehow knew that. And that would have kind of, like, further pushed the whole, like, there's some kind of, like, soul, you know, spirit inside this animal that's smarter than the average animal. But,
well, that's when he kills Michael Douglas's character, Remington.
Right.
So, and that was the only tent that was attacked.
Right.
So, in a sense, what you're saying is accurate. Because his character, Remington, he's like, I think they're after you. They're doing this because of you.
Right, right.
And a lot of the characters in the film said that to him, saying that this is because of you. So he's dreaming that someone close to him, his wife, is getting attacked, but in reality, someone even closer proximity-wise to him is actually the one being attacked.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when it all happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I don't have much more to say about it, to be honest, unless you had something you want to guide us through, Chuck.
So I guess when you don't like movies, you just don't talk about them.
I think Will and I are kind of in the same boat. We were both saying there's not much more to
say.
Lee
got a point here. I mean, so even we're in spoiler territory, but there's nothing really else to talk about here except for they go off into the middle of the savannah or the Sahara, like, you know, four or five different times with their guns ready to try to kill these lions. They keep failing over and over and over again. I mean, the movie from that point on is just like a series of gunshots and like lions roaring in the background.
Well, there's that, but there's also different things, like when the doctor Theoden, you know, asks to replace the gun.
Oh yeah.
Did he do that? Did he jack up that gun on purpose so that Val Kilmer's character would get killed out on the hunt? Like, thinking that, like everybody else, if they're after him, maybe I'll set it up so he gets killed.
I would agree with this if it was one of the tribes people that are blaming Val Kilmer in the first place.
Oh, Abdullah?
Like Val Kilmer gonna die in order for this whole thing to be over. It's his fault, superstition, blah, blah, blah. Like, if it was one of the people who were, like, a part of the tribe, I would agree with this. But because it's, like, the doctor, no, not really. I don't see that. I just think it was exactly what, I'm bad with the character names, what Michael Douglas's character said. You went out here into battle with an untested weapon. This is your fault. Like, I think that's just, it's pretty cut and dry. I don't think the doctor did anything on purpose. No. No.
Why would he do it then?
Why would he do what?
Why would he suggest switching guns?
Well, he said it. He's, this gun is more powerful and you're going to be out there. I don't really need it. Let's switch weapons. I understand that.
Yeah.
But the other gun that he used killed a lion in one shot.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is very true.
And a lot of... So there's that, and then there's the missionary. He's one of my favorite characters. He gets He gets ripped apart.
Angus, yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite characters in the entire film. He's hilarious. I find him funny.
Yeah.
Talking about how he never uses his hands. Then he's like, you know, I've never done a hard day's work. And now he likes the blood and, yeah. you know, yeah. And then when they realize that there's two, because they think there's only one. Mm. And then they realize that there's two lions and one jumps off of the roof of the building and just shreds him apart. Like,
yeah,
it was pretty, you know, special effects like that. It didn't look bad. It looked decent. Right. It looked good.
But, yeah.
And
they didn't have a big problem. They, you know what? I'll say that. I'll give that credit. The blood in the movie looked like blood. It didn't look like, you know, somebody was squirting ketchup all over the wall.
True. Right.
It looked halfway decent. So
it was just the lion shots when it's just like, here's this weird eyeball again and again and again.
I think the point of that is they just wanted to, they're just trying to make it scary.
Yeah.
Like, no, lion's absolutely. Eyes. Here we, okay.
Yeah.
It's, it,
don't
yeah.
look into the lion's eyes.
It is what it is.
For me, but whenever I, whenever I watch this movie, every time I watch this movie and you see the teeth of a lion like sink into someone's leg.
I can't imagine.
I just sit there and go, I couldn't even
I can't
fathom
imagine.
What that would feel like.
You've ever been bit by a cat?
No.
Like that's not fun enough.
But then on top of that, getting dressed, like when he was it who was it that got dragged away?
Oh,
and his skin gets like peeled off there? By the
yeah.
briar that the yeah, yeah. that like oh
yeah,
like there. I think that was the thing too. Is there was some pretty there was a lot of gruesomeness in this film because of the like even in the hospital when they're shredding people apart,
oh,
and
yeah.
tearing the
yeah.
thing down.
It's the only reason it was rated R.
Was
this
it rated
was rated R?
R?
Yeah.
This is rated R.
I thought it was PG-13.
Oh, rated
wow.
R. Yeah,
because of the violence,
only
probably
because of
the violence,
stuff,
yeah.
yeah,
blood in the guts,
blood.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, I thought each character fit their parts well. I actually did not. I'm not a huge Val like Will. I'm not a huge Val Kilmer fan, but I didn't mind him in this film. Like he wasn't outrageous in this film. He wasn't so off base that he was unbearable to watch.
Yeah.
I thought he did a decent job in the film. Michael Douglas, he came in pretty quickly and he left pretty quickly. Like he wasn't in it except for maybe 25 minutes of the film. Like
yeah.
he wasn't a main, he was a main character, but he, I mean, he's a top casted, top billed person, but he's only in it for half an hour out of the hour and a half.
Because it's yeah. Michael Douglas. I mean, of course you're gonna bill Michael Douglas. You're gonna, you know, that's
well,
par for the course.
Right. It's like billing what's his name in Superman?
Richard Pryor.
No, Superman 1.
Gene Hackman.
No, they had Gene Hackman, Christopher Reeves, and Marlon Brando.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah,
they
yeah,
had
Brando.
Even though Marlon Brando was only in it for like 2 minutes, it's like he was still a top billed person
yeah.
because it was
Marlon
Brando.
Brando. Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's how they got people to watch it. But I mean, even Michael Douglas, he was a crazy person in this film, and I thought as a crazy person, he was pretty good. You know, and for a mid-90s film, not trying to do a lot of special effects to keep up with what was going on in that time frame, I give them props because there were movies that were trying to be more than what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I don't think was trying to be more than what it was.
Neither
and,
do I.
You know, I went into the budget and it did lose money in the box office. But a lot of thrillers and horrors will bomb in the box office. But then for years to come, they will be purchased off the shelf like crazy. So I think this one lost like, I don't know, 20 million in the box office. I think it was like a budget of like 65 or 55 and it
the
only
budget,
made
the
like
budget,
35.
The budget, well, it made some money. The budget was 55 million and overall box office was 75 million. So it didn't lose a ton of money, but it didn't make a ton of money either.
Right.
So.
Right. But it also wasn't like, hey, let's do, it wasn't a big epic. It wasn't a big box office. It was kind of a under the radar type movie. And again, thrillers and horrors don't typically do all that well in the box office.
No, they don't.
I'm surprised Scream 50 is out right now and people are going to watch it. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Roger Ebert said the film was so awful it lacked the usual charm of being so bad it's funny, adding it was an African adventure that makes the Tarzan movies look subtle and realistic.
Wow.
Ebert would put the film on his list of worst movies of 1996.
Wow.
Eesh. I don't think I would say that. I don't think I would rate it the worst movie of 96. What else came out in 96?
A lot.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm looking at his stuff that came out around this time, because the reality was before this, what's it? I just went all the way back this way. Oh, okay, I went way too far. But I mean, I've seen a lot of his earlier stuff, like Top Secret was his first, Real Genius, Top Gun. You know, those are the first few ones, and you get like Willow and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But his first big role
was Top Gun.
I'm saying, like, with him being the main character,
was Batman.
Jim Morrison, The Doors, 1991. Then he did, Thunderheart, True Romance, Tombstone, that was a big one for him.
That was.
And then in 95, the year before this, he did Heat and Batman Forever.
I liked this better than Batman Forever.
Of course you did.
Yeah, so I'm looking at some of the movies that came out in 1996, and already I'd put this movie above a lot of movies that came out in 96 that are pretty highly rated. I like it better than The English Patient. I like it better than Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah,
I like it better. I like it better. I like it better than Matilda.
Oh, I like Matilda.
I like it better. You know what? I'll say this. I think, well, no, I'm not going to say that. And I like it better than Crow City of Angels. Haha.
Yeah.
That was a bad
That wasn't the one with Eddie Furlong, is it? Because one of them has Eddie Furlong, and I think the bad guy is David Boreanaz.
No, the main in City of Angels is Vincent Perez.
Okay. Apparently, I remember that one. Yep.
You would think after the first movie, because that was the first
nobody would want to touch it.
Yeah, you would think, because that was Brendan Lee, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would think that, you know, main character gets shot and killed on set, and then they still released the film, and they're like, let's just make four more after this. And now they're making a remake of the original. Yeah. Like, going in, what's his name? Who's playing the crow this time?
Pennywise.
Oh, that's,
yeah,
the new Pennywise.
Well, yeah,
okay,
Bill Skarsgård.
Not Tim Curry.
Well, you gotta say, you can't just say Pennywise, because when you say Pennywise, I think Tim Curry.
Yeah,
no. I think Tim Curry, and that's not accurate. But I would be hesitant to go in and be like, no, I'm not redoing this film.
I wouldn't.
Yeah,
touch it.
A lot of people are pooping all over it right now. The trailer looks interesting, but I think the idea is they're trying to go more of like the comic like story. And that's why they're changing things from where they're going. But they're looking at it as not so much of a remake, but just another rendition of the comic. So they're trying to get away from the original movie, and they're going comic-based.
Either way, the fact that there's a stigma behind the original film, I would have a hard time going into it.
Very true.
I mean, the original film, I mean, obviously, it gained a massive cult following because of, you know, it's like the only time you get to see Brandon Lee, and he nails the character, and then he dies in the middle of it.
Literally.
So obviously, yeah. So obviously, you know, all the goth people who dress like that anyway are all about it, because it's like, it's morbid as well.
Of course.
I mean, geez, we were laughing about this. We found a picture of something, and I was showing my wife just like what the new crow looks like, and then you see a picture of Brandon Lee's like sitting in a chair and everything. She goes, I had that poster. I'm like, yeah, you did when we met. He had this big, creepy picture of the crow just sitting at a table, all leathered up.
That's weird. I never liked the crow.
Really?
Yeah.
Winston's a cop.
I think when they do movies like Underworld, I think they were trying to capture a very similar feel.
Yeah.
The
raining and
but it's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never I never got into the goth scene. I never really understood it.
Well,
you know.
I think the thing about the Crow is, I think Lee's right. It has such a cult following that if you say anything negative about it, you know, people are going to be like, what do you mean you don't like the Crow? Because I'm with you, Chuck. I don't get the appeal of that movie. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's only because of like, what happened.
Yeah.
Really, that makes it so big. I mean, because it's definitely...
The movie is incoherent. The movie is incoherent. I'm going to say it. Yeah. It's absolutely incoherent. That movie does not know what it wants to be.
Right.
Right.
I mean, that scene where he just, like, gets on the roof and starts, like, playing a guitar solo.
Why?
Hey, it was a cool sounding solo.
It was
I remember really enjoying it.
It was a cool thing, but it's like what does this have to do with anything that's going on? Yeah. What is going on? So it's like, you know, it's one of those. I don't know.
It is.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, we kind of went off base here, but yeah.
What else are we going to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sorry that you guys didn't enjoy this film.
I did not say I didn't enjoy it. But like Will was saying, like I enjoy watching the movie. I won't say I regretted watching it. No, I enjoyed watching this and going, oh, okay, now that's something in my mind for something that I was able to kind of sort through. And I don't think it was a waste of time. Honestly, I don't even think Passion in the Desert is a waste of time because now it's got stuff that we can talk about and make fun of. You know, like, I'm not comparing this. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, I never... No, never mind. There is one movie. There are a few movies that I will say that I regretted wasting my time. Alone in the Dark, Butterfly Effect 2, and Going Overboard. It was, like, Adam Sandler's first movie. I think his character's name was Shecky Moskowitz.
Alone in the Dark?
Yes.
That is one of my favorite worst movies ever.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
But...
It's a bad movie, but I still enjoyed it. Again, I go back to I like movies because I like movies.
So I used to be like that. And back then, I didn't like that movie.
When did you... What, when you were six? When you liked movies?
Uh-huh.
No, actually, Alone in the Dark, I think, came out when I was working at Blockbuster Video. So it was like 2005 when that came out, would be my guess.
Well, my challenge to you guys this week is try to just watch a film outside of the podcast and enjoy it.
I watched a movie outside of the podcast with you. We watched Ghostbusters, and it was the release of that movie. And honestly, like, I knew going into it that the critics pooped all over it, and I knew that it was going to go downhill because, like, what are you really going to do when they're trying to pack all that they were trying to pack into it? And quite frankly, there were a ton of scenes that were in the trailer that were not in the movie. Actually, there was like a whole handful of them. And there's a huge uproar right now, if you look online, of people who are upset that they went out and bought those red Ghostbuster jackets to not even see them in the movie, like besides like half a moment. Like nobody was wearing those jackets. Like one dude might have. Huh?
What's her name did? The girl did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Lucky? Yeah, for a moment. But anyway, the point is, like, I went to watch that movie and say, you know what? This might be horrible, but I'm just going to watch it and enjoy it. And looking back at it, I enjoyed the movie.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And I had to, because the thing is, if you take a movie that was so, like, classic, you know, I read this really great review. I would read it right now, but I'm not going to bother going through the whole thing. But it was just somebody basically saying, you know, you're either a fan of the 1984 Ghostbusters movie or you're a Ghostbusters fan. You know, it's like, if you just appreciate what has come out, be it like the real Ghostbusters or Extreme Ghostbusters, which I thought was a really cool story, that was a great passing of the torch. And then even the video game was really cool where they were training a rookie. If you've ever played that on PS3 or whatever, it was actually awesome. I don't think I actually even ever finished it. But like, they had a lot of really cool stories. But the problem is, like, people just want to poop all over everything that comes out. Cause, like, it's not as good as the original. It's like, yeah, what did you expect 30, 40 years later, or literally 40 years later?
True.
So I think if you go into things not trying to be a critic, yeah, you can watch that. But if we're going to be talking about stuff and criticizing things, I'm going to criticize them. So A Ghost and the Darkness, or The Ghost and the Darkness, I'm going to criticize it because we're doing this for a podcast. If you said, hey, let's get together and watch a movie and we weren't going to talk about it here, then I'd be like, okay, let's watch the movie. And I'd just be like, huh.
So can I ask you a question then? Can you watch a movie, enjoy it, and talk about it?
If it's good.
Ugh.
Listen.
But how will
I
you
love
know
Back
that
to the
if
Future.
You don't watch it two or
I
three times?
I love Back to the Future, but there are so many flaws in its logic.
Right, but how do you, if, how can you, so to re-answer your question, you can't. Because you can't go to the theaters, watch the movie, and then talk about it.
I can.
No, because you say, I don't talk to you until I have a day or two to think about it.
Well, it depends. Yeah, I still have to let things settle. Like, let me sleep on it.
I'm the same way.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of information thrown at you in a movie theater, and you're just like, taking it all in. It takes me a little bit to think. Like, that's anything. I think there's a difference between you and other people. You know, some people can. Some people are. Like my wife, she can go through something and then just be like, immediately have an opinion of it, you know, or have a conversation, and she just go back and forth and have like, it's like a debate mentality. I don't have that. I have a processing, like a quiet, like internal processing person. I internally process all my stuff. I'm not a verbal
processor. And we can't go to the theaters together anymore.
So,
I want to talk about it.
Hold on, because there's something to be said for letting a movie marinate. Case in point, Phantom Menace. After that movie came out, everybody raved about it. Everybody loved it. This is perfect. This is everything Star Wars should be. This is amazing. Oh my God, it's never been better. Star Wars is back. Couple of years later, tunes started to change hardcore. Yes. We were way too happy. We were too eager. This was recency bias. This movie did not, it is not great. And this was, and tunes had changed before Sith came out. Like, it was, it's crazy the way things like that work. So, no, I don't think it's, especially if you're doing this, I don't think it's a good idea to go to the movies, watch something, leave, and then immediately start talking about it, like, in a forum like the three of us are having right now. That would be an absolute disservice to the film for a variety of reasons.
100%.
One, I just laid out. No, I'm the same way. I'm like Lee. I don't want to talk about it right after I see it. I want to let it marinate. I want to sleep on it. I don't want to talk about what I liked and what I didn't like, because my mind might change in a day.
That's fine.
I couldn't.
I'd rather have
it.
My mind change, because, man, I just, I feel like you guys miss out on a whole aspect of film.
Not at all. We're letting it sit and we're enjoying it.
I hear you. I heard you. I think that you miss out on a whole, because it's like when you hear a song and you're like, oh my gosh, that guitar solo it struck me immediately. It's like your first time hearing it. You're like, wow, that was really, really good.
Music is different.
You have to go back and listen to it. Sometimes immediately, sometimes the next day.
Okay.
Music is different, though. Music is so like short, like a 5-minute song. It either hits you immediately or it doesn't.
So for me, movies are my music. Okay. I don't listen to music, like, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's not a music person.
I do not.
That's fine.
If you get my car, it's all audiobooks and podcasts.
That's fine.
I literally do not. I don't know any band that's out there today, unless it's, like, a song that's, like, on every reel on social media. Outside of that, I don't know any music. But movies, it's like, you guys don't have like a wow, I had a gut reaction to that film.
Mind because
you,
if
I'm,
you go,
I'm okay for that gut reaction changing 20, because I've had gut reactions to films and it's changed 24 hours later. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was just not good. I realized that.
Yeah, but in most cases, when we go to see a movie in the theater, like the way my life is now. I don't see movies very often. The only time I go to see a movie in the theater is if I'm really excited about it. And if that's the case, like, that means that I'm putting a lot of stake in it. So I have to really think about how I feel about it. Like,
and again, if you go to a movie theater and you see a movie, you're rating your movie going experience along with the movie that you're watching.
Absolutely.
It's yep. way different from, like, if you're sitting at home and you're in, like, the comfort of your own, like, space and you watch a movie. Like,
I
if you do
that.
If you do that, I'd feel more comfortable talking about it immediately after because I'm in my own space. If you go to a movie theater and you watch something, it's like anything wrong that happens, like somebody was talking too loud or this person next to you was chomping on something or your
toes freeze and they break off.
Yeah, or you're sure. Or you get cold or whatever, or you can't get comfortable, or something happens with the film and it messes up and they have to like fix it or whatever like that. All of that gets wrapped up into like how you feel and what you think about the movie. I don't like doing that. I hate doing that.
That I get. Like when we went and saw Ghostbusters, the lady was like, so
the heat doesn't work.
It doesn't work in the theater, and if it gets too cold, let us know. We'll refund you.
That's
and it was
rough.
It was like probably in the high 40s, low 50s.
That's
the entire,
rough.
Yeah.
The entire.
It was definitely below 60.
It was wow. It was cold,
and you're sitting there for so long. It's like you're not like you're moving around. I mean, you can deal with 60 fine if you're moving around, but we were just sitting there watching a movie
for 2 hours.
2 hours,
and it was cold.
That would ruin it.
And we were like full hat and coat. You know, like
that would ruin
wrapped
it for
up,
me.
But
now that well, ruins mean, that ruins the experience
but,
for me.
But it was called Frozen
movie.
Empire, and things were getting frozen. So I'm just like, hey, we're like, it's like full immersion.
We're a part of
give
the
us,
movie.
Give us, give us 3D glasses, and we'll feel like we're really there. I'm like, nope. And then Chuck was really mad because we stuck around for the post credit scene that never happened.
Wow.
The last one had a post credit scene, not just a mid. So. Whatever. This one only had the mid, and it was lackluster.
Nah.
But anyway, no, I get what you're saying. I get what everybody's saying. The reality for me is like it's the whole experience. Going to a movie theater, seeing a movie, I'm not gonna come out of there with a solid like, here's how I feel. I can give you a basic like, did you hate it or did you not hate it? I can tell you that.
No, you can't.
I can.
I asked you that.
Did you hate it or did you not hate it? Yeah. Means I didn't hate it.
Oh.
If I hated it, you would know. Trust me. If I came out, like, we saw Barbie. Hated it. Told you that. Like, that was, I can't believe you maybe watched that movie. Like, that, there we go. That's another movie I regret seeing.
I suggested that movie because it was super popular and we are a movie podcast.
I know.
That was the only reason why I did
it. I know. And you got my opinion, like, immediately. You got my opinion. So if I really hate something, you will know.
So I guess that's the thing, is we'll get your opinion only if you hate it?
Well, because
What if you gave it 24 hours and you're like, oh, I really liked that?
Well, then after I said I hated it?
Yeah.
I highly doubt that would happen.
Yeah.
Because I don't put my stamp of approval on any, or stamp of disapproval on anything until I've really thought about it. I don't make decisions without really thinking about it first. And
if you walk out of a theater and you say, I hate that, that contradicts what you're saying right now.
When I first saw Pirates of the Caribbean in the theater, the first one, Curse of the Black Pearl, I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated that movie when I first watched it.
I loved that movie when I first watched it.
I watched it again months later, loved it. And I couldn't believe that I did not like that movie. So if you got my opinion right after I saw it and I told you that I hated it, months later my opinion would have 180'd.
That's fine. Mm. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
People's opinions change. Yeah, I like the first three. The fact that they're doing another Pirates movie is beyond me right now. They've already done five. They don't need to do a sixth one.
Yeah, they did do five. Did you watch the last one, though?
No.
Dead Men Tell No Lies or whatever, or Tales or something?
Yeah, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
It wasn't bad. I thought that was better than Stranger Tides. Stranger Tides was a total stinker.
Weird.
Yeah, it just, nothing of
the
it
first three
good.
Were,
that
they
was the
have stopped
Fountain of
at
Youth
three.
One, right?
Yeah, they should have stopped at three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great trilogy. I mean, honestly, you're going to have a really cohesive story when they make two and three at the same time, obviously. You're going to have this real cohesive, it's going to feel right.
Mm.
But when you start saying, well, this made a lot of money, let's just make another one and go off in a totally different direction, it's like, it's either going to be a huge, you know, success or a massive flop.
Right.
And I feel like that was.
More often than not, it's a massive flop.
In most cases, yeah. But I thought that Dead Man Tell, no, whatever, the one with Javier Bardem or whatever, I didn't think it was bad. I think we saw that in the theater, and I was pleasantly surprised. Robin was the main character, or...
Presently... Pleasantly surprised?
Yeah. Presently supplies.
Presently supplies?
Yeah. Mm.
No, I guess, I guess, you know, the, I actually enjoy this conversation about, you know, the, I don't know, there's a part of me that, like, almost feels bad for you guys, that you guys miss out on a form of enjoyment for, because, I mean, yes, there is criticism, but sometimes there's just, like, more often than not, it's like, I get made fun of a lot because people think I watch, like, I watch movies or TV typically at night. I don't watch it during the day. Today, I was home not feeling well. So I did a lot of TV watching today because I was on the couch. I was couching it all day.
Yeah.
And when I'm sick or if I don't feel good, I'll take 12 hours. I'll be in and out sleeping, passing out, watching a movie, pass out, watch a TV show, you know, do whatever. But I more often than not watch a movie for enjoyment, more so than I watch a movie for, like, there was a time for a while when we were doing the podcast where all I was doing was watching a TV show or a movie for the podcast specifically. And I was like,
yeah, you got to get away from that. You got to get away from that.
I miss just doing movies for that reason.
Yeah.
Because then if I do it for that reason all the time, when I go in and watch a movie that, like this movie, that, you know, I miss out on the enjoyment of the purpose of the film. The purpose of this film, The Ghost in the Darkness, was to give you a decent thriller on what would happen if you came into these two mini lions that just, like, you know, went gnarly on 50 people.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty terrifying to think about.
I would say so.
And, you know, it's like thrillers, horror movies, there's massive holes in every single, like, the biggest hole in Scream is, like, why can no one just grab a gun and shoot him? He has an 8-inch blade.
Well, because there's two of them.
Oh.
Either way.
It's always two of them.
Either way, grab a gun with multiple bullets in it and shoot both of them.
Ah.
And then in every horror film, why does everybody run upstairs?
Well, because the door's locked. But the windows upstairs aren't.
Not at all.
It's just, I think the best, I don't know, did you see Freddy versus Jason, Lee?
Of course.
I think the best running upstairs and getting trapped film is when he's in the bed just folds in half. That was perfect.
Yes.
That was like the best ending for you run upstairs and you get trapped.
Oh man, I haven't watched that in years.
I haven't watched it since it came out.
All I remember is like the weird little worm that came up and like started smoking with the one dude, and he's like, hey, and it's just like a Freddy worm, like,
yeah,
a Freddy caterpillar. That and the whole thing is like, let's put Jason under so he can fight Freddy.
Yep.
While he's like, oh, geez, that was so weird. That movie was, oh, it was disappointing.
It was not great.
It was not good.
For years, like, that was 1996 is when Jason Goes to Hell came out, and that's when Freddy's glove came and took the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
blah blah blah. But they also, I know we've talked about this before, and I'm going to say it again anyway. But they were supposed to do Freddy versus Jason versus Ash from Evil Dead. So because just before he comes outside, they're in the basement and they come across the Necronomicon, which is in there. That's the, you know, the Book of the Dead that's in Evil Dead, and they did have a couple comic book series of that, which is kind of cool if you look back at it. I think I have one of the series probably somewhere over here on the shelf. But, yeah, it just, you know, after, when was Freddy vs. Jason? Probably 2000, 2002?
One, something like that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 96 to then, I mean, people were waiting for a long time. They finally saw something about it in a movie, like, oh, look, it's teasing that this is going to happen. And then it happened, and there was no Ash. I think it would have been interesting if Ash shows up out of nowhere, like, halfway through the movie, like, hey, guys, you know, whatever. Groovy, you know, and then just went off to do whatever. But I don't know.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you guys ever watch a movie more than once, even if it's bad?
Yes. I just talked about this. I watched The Flash again today. It was a bad movie.
It depends on how bad. It entirely depends on how bad.
Yeah.
I will only, like, there are certain movies that are just bad, like Dreamcatcher was bad.
Uh-huh.
Domino was bad. I'll watch those movies for the podcast and for the podcast only. But then there are films that are just bad that I'm like, eh. You know, like Equilibrium. Film-wise, special effects-wise, it's bad. But I'll still watch it again because it's still a fun movie.
What do you mean by bad, though? There could be cheap sci-fi, like cheesy, cheesy bad, or just bad. When I think bad movie, I think horrible writing, horrible acting.
Like
it was meant to be serious, but it was just bad.
The Room is so bad, it's funny, and I will absolutely watch that movie again. The Happening was so bad that it was bad, and I will never watch that movie again.
Well, there you go. That's my point.
Except for the podcast.
So I think the idea is
at some point we will do that.
Big baby.
If it's self-aware, that's rewatchable.
Yeah.
If it's not, and they were trying to be serious, and it was just really poorly done, I don't need to watch it again.
So movies like Equilibrium, okay, yes, it did not age well.
No, but I'm still gonna watch it again. I still have it in my collection here on disc. You know,
I would watch it again, even though it's bad. I would definitely watch it again.
Yeah, but like, there's certain things where I've watched and said, I could happily live the rest of my life not watching this.
So Lee was actually talking about this the other day, and he asked me, and I think this is actually a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
He suggested that for our next movie night that we do a twofer, mm-hmm. but we do...
Total Recalls.
Both Total Recalls,
mm-hmm.
and then just talk about both films at one time.
Yeah.
Or we could do Judge Dredd and Dredd, you know.
Cause oh, yeah, I didn't do
those,
Dredd.
Those two were... Those that Dredd was just bad.
Yeah,
My vote goes to Total Recall.
Total Recall.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing about Total Recall is one of them was a campy sci-fi, and the other one was a sci-fi action, and it was not campy.
Okay.
So it's like it's two different movies. They tried to make something that was a classic for what it was. Serious.
That was with Kate Beckinsale, right?
Yeah, and all she did was walk after him scowling the entire time. Like, that was the entire... Like, my wife called it out. She goes, all she does is walk around angrily. Doesn't do anything else. I'm like, you're right. She's just walking after him the entire time. That's all you ever see from her.
Okay? I haven't watched either of those films in a long, long time. I used to
watch Total Recall all the time.
I loved Total Recall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Total Recall is a really good movie.
Yeah, so that's been on my list of, like, let's get to this at one point. I think it was on our old list. But I feel like if we're gonna discuss it, we should do a twofer.
It's with Jean-Claude Van Damme, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Pauly Shore's in the remake.
Oh.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the main character. Oh, no, actually, it was Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell.
No, it was. No, because it was Colin Farrell in Total Recall.
No, that's Colin Hanks.
And it was what's his name in Dredd?
Stallone.
Nope. Not Judge Dredd.
Oh.
Dredd.
Oh, I don't know who was.
The guy who played in Doom, he also played in Lord of the Rings.
Carl Urban,
yeah.
He was Dredd?
He was Dredd.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, I think that's what we would talk about.
I mean, that's a good movie, too. Fun. Doom.
Was that the one with The Rock? I never saw it. I remember when it came out, I wanted to. I think I actually might have rented it, and I only
that
got through
movie,
5 minutes, and I
that
shut
movie
off.
Was so bad that even The Rock makes fun of himself for being in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, Ryan Reynolds makes fun of himself for being in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Of course he does.
So, speaking of that, that's July 26th, I think, for Deadpool and the Wolverine. That'll be interesting.
You know Ryan Reynolds did not when they created Mutant X in that, everyone thinks that was Ryan Reynolds.
It looked like him. Kind of it did.
Scott
look
Atkins.
Like him.
It's not Ryan Reynolds, it's Scott Atkins.
Interesting.
Huh. But because he was supposed to be they killed off that character to make Mutant X, but then they brought him back as Deadpool.
Yeah.
I just weird.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
So to be honest, movies like this that bring out conversation like this, I actually enjoy because now you get to know a little bit more about how everyone feels about film.
Sure.
You know, I got to.
serves a purpose.
I want to look up more. I want to look up more of that backstory of how the film was made.
Yeah,
I wish this would have been a cool movie with like, when the Blu-ray came out, if they had a Blu-ray, they probably did.
Director's
like
commentary.
Behind the scenes of what happened. Like in Lord of the Rings, in the second film, when what's his name, who plays Aragorn, kicks the helmet and he screams. He actually broke his toe and that scream was real. And they left that shot in. So stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or like Jackie Chan in Rumble in the Bronx when he's water skiing with his feet, he actually does it, but he broke his foot in the middle of the filming, and they did a cast that looked like his shoe, and he does water skiing with his sneakers on and one broken foot. Stuff like that. Or it's when you do Top Gun Maverick and you realize that all of those shots were really in a jet.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff makes a movie that much cooler.
It does. It's impressive. It
makes it so, and to know that people, like, I feel bad for the fact that the people died in this film, but to know that they went through real life scenarios and tragedies in this place because people were actually going through, like,
I'm just imagining what the director is like, all right, action. And 5 minutes later, hippo, and they all just run. That's all I'm thinking about in my head. Like that I can see it. That is crazy.
Oh, it's insane.
Anyways,
but
yeah.
Anywho.
Anyways,
well, I'm good. If you guys are good, I guess.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah, we're good. It was good. So, all right. You good?
I'm good.
All right.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us and have a great one.
See ya.
Bye-bye.